Our message tonight is taken from the chapter that was read second, Luke 17, verses 11 to 19, where we have a miracle of the Lord Jesus cleansing 10 lepers, and as we know, only one of them returned to give thanks. Now, we've been looking on Sunday evenings at some of the miracles that our Lord performed as he was going to Jerusalem, and this happened before he entered Jericho. We've seen him healing Bartimaeus, the blind man, and his dealings with Zacchaeus, the tax collector in that city. But this happened just a bit before then, and it's most instructive as regards teaching us the gospel. Now, you may be aware of this. The miracles and parables of Jesus are illustrations of the gospel. That is their relevance to us today. They did happen. The miracle that we read of here was a real miracle. 10 lepers were physically healed. But there is much more than that to it. Otherwise, what relevance would it have to us? We would all have to be suffering from leprosy in order to derive teaching from it. No, each parable and miracle teaches one aspect of the gospel. You can't use a miracle to teach the whole of the gospel, but it does emphasize certain aspects. And when you put all of them together, the cumulative effect is to give a complete picture of Jesus Christ as the Saviour of sinners. Now, I've never preached on this miracle before, but it's quite comprehensive, because here you have the condition of 10 men before the Lord touched them, and then you have the process of them being healed, and then you have the aftermath with the one man, and the only one, returning thanks. So if we look at it in that way, what is it like before we're converted? What is conversion? And what is the aftermath? Now let's start with before conversion. Now, I don't know if you've seen lepers. If you go to somewhere like India, you will come across people who have leprosy, and it's quite disfiguring. There is a lot of misunderstanding about it, and what it does as a disease is it causes your nerve endings to become numb. And so people then, they're not aware of the damage that they're doing to themselves, and that's how people maybe will lose fingers or other parts of the body, and that makes it very disfiguring. Now, I came across this definition which uses leprosy as an illustration of the spiritual disease that we are all suffering from, sin. And sin, in many ways, is like leprosy. Listen to this definition. How well leprosy depicts the corrupting power and the condemning presence of sin. Leprosy, like sin, works death within while isolating its victims from fellowship with other people. Worst of all, under the Old Testament law, it barred them from fellowship with God. No condition was more feared or loathed than leprosy. Lepers were the walking dead. And that's true here of these 10 men. We read about them. Verse 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. We always use, don't we, the illustration, unclean, unclean. Well, that was literally true of these people who suffered from this terrible disease. They couldn't live in the town or the village. They were isolated. They couldn't mix with other people. And the worst thing about it was that it cut them off from fellowship with God. Now, that's what sin does. On every level, it condemns us. And like leprosy, it disfigures outwardly. But the root of the disease is within. And it does numb our spiritual nerves. Actually, we're dead in trespasses and sins. That's where the illustration breaks down. Because sin is even worse than just a disease. Now, have you ever seen yourself, I wondered, in that light? That I'm not right with my Maker. And that's because of that. There is no peace in my heart. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. And as a result of that, I'm not at peace with those round about me. That's sin for you. On all levels, it brings discord and it cuts us off. And the worst part, of course, is this. And it's quite frightening when you think about it. Once we die, that's it. Man is appointed once to die, and after that, the judgment. If sin cuts us off now from the life of God, once we leave this world behind, once our soul leaves the body, then we are separated forever and forever. At least there is hope in this life. That is why we're having a gospel service tonight. It's a day of grace. And that's the good news, that there is an opportunity for sinners to be healed. But once we die, that's it. There is no such thing as purgatory. There is nothing in the Bible to teach it. There's no second chance. Now is the opportunity. Now, have you ever seen yourself as a spiritual leper, I wonder? Now, the Lord Jesus had come across lepers several times before, and he deals with them all in different ways, but in the end, it all comes to this. He has the power to heal. Now, let's look at these 10 men. Remember now, we're looking at the 10. We read that one of them, the one who returned to give thanks, was a Samaritan. Now, that means that not all of the others were Samaritan. They were probably Jewish. There could have been other nationalities here. And isn't that an illustration of this spiritual leprosy? It cuts across different nationalities. That is why I can preach the same message here in Cardiff as I could in the villages of Andhra Pradesh in southeast India. There is no difference. There are all sorts of outward differences, and even in terms of the language, I don't need a translator here, not at the moment anyway. But in terms of the condition, it's all the same. Human nature doesn't change. It doesn't change with time. It doesn't change with space. Now, what should be our response if we're aware of this? Well, it should be the same response as these 10 men. What did they have to bring to Jesus Christ? Listen to them. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." That's all they could say. "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." In the next chapter, you have that tax collector praying that. Listen to Martin Luther here. If you want to be saved from spiritual leprosy, what do? You cry to God, to Jesus Christ. And you cry to him. Look, Luther said, "It allows no merits, will not purchase the grace of God with works, but brings with it pure unworthiness, clings to and depends wholly on the mere unmerited favor of God. For faith will not tolerate works and merits in its company." in the words of the hymnist, nothing in my hand I bring. I've got nothing to offer you, Lord. All that I can offer is unclean. Just as lepers of old would have been labeled unclean, unclean, so are my works. It doesn't matter whether it's sinful works, if it's good works, if it's religious works, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I can't bring anything before you, Lord, in terms of deserving you a favor. If I'm going to be cleansed of this disease, it must be grace. And God delights to hear that prayer. What did we sing just before? Sinners, Jesus will receive. Tell this word of grace to all. There's nothing. Have you come to that point, I wonder? The main problem with most people is not that they don't see that they're sinners. We all admit to being imperfect. The main problem is self-righteousness. We still think that we've got something to offer God. Something. No, nothing. Wesley said, "'Tis mercy all, immense and free." What we're talking about tonight is undeserving. No merits. So let's get that out of our minds, this idea that we've got to offer something. Jesus Christ's perfect life and death, and something that I've got to bring. No, my friend, you've got absolutely nothing at all. All you can cry to the Lord Jesus is, "Have mercy upon me. I'm coming as a beggar, and beggars can't be choosers. I cannot save myself. I've tried, and every effort I've made in that direction has taken me farther away from you." Remember Whitfield and Wesley and others in the 18th century in Oxford University, having a guilty conscience and wanting to make themselves right with God, forming the Holy Club and doing all sorts of good deeds, religious deeds, in order to gain favor. And they found themselves desperate. One man even died in the process. He was so ill in trying to live a self-sacrificial life. No, nothing, nothing. So that's before conversion. You're never going to be saved unless you've got nothing. Then let's look in more detail now at what it is to be saved. The Lord Jesus deals with these men in a very strange way. Do you remember the account a little earlier on in this gospel and in the other gospels where he deals with lepers? I think it's chapter 5 of Luke's gospel. Verse 12, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he did something quite amazing. He actually put forth his hand. You weren't supposed to do that with lepers. You were supposed to keep a distance from them. And what he did was touch this man and pronounced him clean. I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him." Now, why didn't he deal with these 10 men in the same way? I don't know why. I have no answers to offer. But I want to say this. It is only Jesus Christ that can heal us from spiritual leprosy. There is only one way to God. That is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But there are many ways to Jesus Christ. He doesn't deal with us as robots. There are no straight-jacketed experiences of the grace of God. He will deal with each one of us in a unique way. And the thing is this, are we crying to him for mercy? Now, how did he deal with these men? And what's the lesson here for us in terms of being converted? Well, he tells them to go and show themselves to the priests. Now that doesn't sound very spectacular, does it? Why didn't he extend his arm of mercy and touch these 10 men? That would have looked better. I remember when I was seeking, I would hear testimonies, and some testimonies were quite spectacular in terms of what the person was talking about and how they came to know the Lord. They would talk about a feeling coming over them of peace and of sins forgiven. And I found myself then asking the Lord, Lord, I want that. And I was thinking that if I was to be saved, it would be exactly in the same way. And that's where I got it wrong. The Lord deals with us in different ways. Yes, our feelings will come in at some point, but we should just ask him for mercy. Lord, it is not for me to dictate to you. You save me in your way. And even if it doesn't sound spectacular at first, I know some of you who've been brought up under the sound of the gospel. You haven't got a spectacular story. That does not belittle the grace of God. If you are forgiven, if you who were once blind now see, that's the amazing thing. Now, why does he say to them, go show yourselves to the priests? Well, this is what they had to do in the Old Testament under the law. If I would have been mischievous tonight, I would have read from Leviticus 13, where we have 59 verses of detecting leprosy. The priest had a long list of things that they had to check before they pronounced a leper cleansed. We haven't got time to deal with all of them, but they dealt with such things as how many splotches were on the skin, how deep they were, etc. And what the Lord Jesus was telling these 10 men to do was this, to go to the priests and to show themselves as if they were cleansed. And here they are, they're full of leprosy. How can he be telling us to go and do something impossible? Jesus Christ said to a man lame in both feet, rise up and walk. How can he say such an impossible thing? Here am I, my sin, spiritual leprosy, and I hear the word of God say to me, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. How can that be possible? I'm a condemned sinner. I feel my unworthiness, not as much as I should, but I'm aware of it. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. If you or I were saying to these lepers, go and show yourself to the priests, we would be presumptuous. But if it's the Son of God who is saying that, he has the power. And if it is the Son of God who says to a lame man, rise up and walk, there is power in his word. And if it is the word of God that says to us, condemned, guilty sinners, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, then there's power in that. And it's a very lovely description of what they did. Nothing spectacular. Verse 14, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they obeyed. They took him at his word. They didn't wait for something to happen. They simply obeyed. Have you seen it like that, I wonder? I'm sure it's stopping a number of you from coming to Jesus Christ. You're waiting for something to happen. Now, I said this morning, feelings come in later. What does God say? Let me read from the Old Testament something relevant to this. Isaiah chapter 1. This is God's word to a sinful generation. Come now, verse 18, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now that's to a people who are already sinful. And God says, come now, as you are, and I will clean you. I came across this quotation, I think it is Spurgeon, and it is most helpful in this regard. As these men were to start straight away to the priest with all their leprosy upon them and to go there as if they felt they were already healed, so are you with all your sin upon you and your sense of condemnation heavy on your soul to believe in Jesus Christ just as you are, and you shall find everlasting life upon the spot. This is my point, says Spurgeon, and it is of the first importance. Sinners as sinners are to believe in Jesus for everlasting life. Not sinners as convicted sinners. Not sinners as those who have felt a certain level of guilt. It is sinners as sinners as sinners. And that's all you require. All the qualifications are that you're a sinner. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. That's the point of conviction of sin. It's to drive you to Christ. You may not need conviction of sin to go to Christ. Just go to him as a sinner. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Jesus Christ is the spiritual doctor that heals us from this disease. If you have to go to the doctor in this country, you don't wait till you're better. You go to the doctor because you are ill. And you do the same with your sin. God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, my friends, what is stopping you from coming to Jesus Christ tonight? I could understand if he said, you've got to be so good before you come to me. Or I could understand if he said, you've got to attend a number of meetings first, before you know enough. How much did these lepers know? I don't think they knew that much. They'd heard of Jesus of Nazareth. They'd probably heard of his miracles. They'd probably even heard of how he had healed lepers. They'd heard of his claim to be the Son of God. They'd heard that he had the authority to forgive sin, but they didn't understand the theology behind it. They simply took him at his word, and that's all we've got to do. I can't get enough of this, you know. That is what faith is. It's not waiting for an experience. It's taking God at his word. And God's word says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What more do you need? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may not understand it at the moment, but that doesn't matter. Simply take him at his word. There is another description here. It was as they were going to the priests that they were healed. And that's what you'll find, my friend. Instead of waiting for something to happen to you, take the Lord's word and just go to him. And as you'll do that, you will find peace coming into your soul. You will find that assurance that your sins are forgiven. Isn't that what becoming a Christian is all about? It is turning to Jesus Christ. It is following him as Lord and Savior. Oh, why do we make things so complicated so often? Sometimes even in our testimonies, we want to make it sound like a systematic theology lecture. All these 10 lepers knew was this, that they were in need and that Jesus Christ could provide cure for them, and they availed themselves of him. That is all That is all. Now, there is something else I want to dwell on before coming to a conclusion. Why did the Lord here use this particular method to heal them? I know he deals with each one of us in different ways. But here are these 10 men. They've put faith in Christ, not in their own merits. And they're cleansed. They can see the blotches are all gone. It happened instantaneously. And now they're arriving in Jerusalem and they're showing themselves to the priests. And wonder of wonders, they are healed. It's not their doing, it's Christ's doing. And I'm sure he wanted them now to be instructed of his way of spiritual cleansing. Now that is why we read from Leviticus chapter 14. This is the Old Testament now. These things have been accomplished in Christ's death. But what did these 10 men see? Can I put it like this now? I don't know how many of you tonight are truly saved, believing in Jesus Christ for salvation. You remember in Pilgrim's Progress, Christian was convicted of sin. He ran away from the city of destruction and got through the Slough of Despond, and he arrived at the door, which is Christ. That was his conversion. Do you remember what happened afterwards? He went to the interpreter's house to learn something of how he was saved. And I'm sure that this is what the Lord was doing here. He was allowing the priests and the law, the Old Testament law, to teach these 10 men of the way of salvation. Now, you know, animal rights activists would not be pleased with this, but 2 birds were brought in. And 1 of them was killed. Well, that's God's law in the Old Testament. As I said, that's a ceremonial law. It's been fulfilled in Christ's death. So we are not into killing birds. You'll be glad to hear. Now, 2 birds. 1 is killed. And its blood is put into a pot. And that pot has other things in it as well. Hyssop, etc. And the other bird that's still alive is dipped in that pot. So the blood of the bird killed is on the other bird. And also that same blood is sprinkled on the leper that's been cleansed. So you'd have had 10 lepers here sprinkled with blood. Sounds gruesome, doesn't it? What was this teaching them? That without shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. That bird that was killed pointed to what was going to happen in Jerusalem in a few weeks' time. Not a bird, not even a lamb, but the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, becoming a man, the perfect man, and going to that cross as a sacrifice by shedding his blood, by dying in your place and mine. He is atoning us to God. He is taking the righteous anger of God upon himself, deflecting it away from us. Isn't that amazing? That it's not just me experiencing forgiveness, but that it is God at great cost to himself, sending his only begotten Son to be the sacrifice that procures that forgiveness. I'll never forget coming across these words for the first time. It's a famous hymn, but these words in the hymn are always with me. In my place, condemned, he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a saviour. And then you see the other bird, having the blood of the bird that is killed put on it. What happened to that bird? It's released. What does that signify? Our sin by being put on Christ, the debt we owe God is paid to the full. And he's the scapegoat. He pays all the price.
I remember reading this illustration.
You can imagine the 10 lepers having had this one bird killed and seen that without shedding of blood, there can be no remission. And then having that blood sprinkled upon them, so it was their sin that was put on that sacrifice. And then the other bird sprinkled in the same blood and being released. So they could see this bird now flying away with the blood on it. And then the bird flying farther and farther and farther away, and the spots of blood getting smaller and smaller and smaller until it disappears completely. And I can imagine great relief, well, at least in the heart of one anyway, thanksgiving that God has removed their sin as far as the east is from the west. So far has God in Christ removed our transgressions from us. Now, I'm sure they would have seen something of that. And I just pray here tonight that we would take the Lord at his word. Stop trying to save ourselves. You know, there was a man in chapter 18 who prayed a most eloquent prayer, the Pharisee, and he thanked God in his prayer. It was full of thanksgiving, but the gist of his thanksgiving was this: I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. And it's easy for us here tonight to fall into that trap, to thank God that we are chapel-goers, to thank God that we are not guilty of this or that, and not realize that we're suffering from this terrible disease. I'm sure some lepers were less disfigured than others, but they were still afflicted with leprosy. Remember that publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the prayer that God hears. You read of the religious leaders of the time coming to Jesus Christ, not for mercy, but they wanted to come to prove him. They wanted to come to ask for a sign to prove that he was the Messiah. He didn't take any notice of them. Indeed, he warned them about their unbelief. Whereas these unclean people crying for mercy are hurt first time round. Oh, if you've come here tonight to test Jesus Christ, I don't think he's going to listen to you. If you've come here tonight to see what kind of preacher we've got in Heath Church, sorry to disappoint you, but he's not that good, and that's not what we're about. Oh, what we have come here for tonight is mercy. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. That's why he came into this world. I have come in order that they might have life, and life more abundantly, not to make us healthier or wealthier or more successful, but to give us salvation, to give us forgiveness of sin. So take him at his word and go to him as a sinner. Have you heard these words? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or in the words of another, I think, Sankey hymn, there is power, there is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. We'll have to wait till next time to see the aftermath of salvation. But let's leave it at that. Come to Jesus as you are and learn of his way of salvation for his name's sake. Amen.